Would you like another choice on the November ballot? Are you happy with the existing parties?
We got to find a way out of this right, left, red, blue, false choice construct that the parties have created.
If the critical issue that's on the table now is partisanship, can you expect the parties to step in and take over the fight against partisanship?
I'm Kay McIntyre. The Kansas primary elections are just over a month away, but one-third of Kansas voters are independent. Today on KPR Presents, we'll hear from Jackie Salit, president of independentvoting.org, and Jim Jonas, a political consultant who works on independent voting issues and for independent candidates, including Greg Orman's campaign for the U.S. Senate in 2014. But first, a group of voters, mostly Republicans, have formed a new political party in Kansas. Scott Morgan is chair of Party of the Center. Morgan ran for Secretary of State in 2014 against Kris Kobach. He stopped by the KPR studios this week to talk about the Party of the Center.
There's a number of us who have been lost without a party. And you mentioned that I'd run for Secretary of State in the primary against Kris Kobach 4 years ago. And the group that had helped me with that, more of a stand for principle than it was a realistic shot at trying to unseat him. But what are we going to do? We're not Republican. We're not Democrat. We can't find a home. So a lot of people have trouble with that. They say, well, if you're not a Republican, you're a Democrat. And you go, if you're not a Democrat, you're a Republican. Well, for a lot of people, that's true. But there's a bunch of us in the middle that both parties have just gotten very strange. But we knew third parties don't work. I mean, that's a received wisdom from heaven. But we kept looking into it and decided, not only can they work, that things have so fundamentally changed that they have to work. And so that group, that's what it grew out of, was the effort I had in trying to unseat Kobach. And so this is that group coming together and working to form a new Party of the Center in Kansas.
In order to get on the ballot, the Party of the Center needed to collect 18,000 signatures by June 1st, and that didn't happen. Bring us up to date. Where do things stand now for the Party of the Center?
Well, and the thing that a lot of people don't realize is we weren't trying for the August primary. This is a straight shot to the November ballot. The whole thing that we are trying to get past are the primaries, which so few people in Kansas vote. For 20 years, it's a pretty flat number. You've got 17% of the adult population vote in primaries. 5% are in Democrat and 12% are in the Republican. That's who determines who the rest of us vote for come November. By forming a new party, you don't go through the primary. You go straight with your own slate of candidates to the November ballot, and you're on there with Democrats, with Republicans. That's what we were shooting for. We didn't get to that. There are 18,000 signatures we needed to get. We didn't get that. I mean, we've made a lot of mistakes. This is a very grassroots, organic group. But we've also learned a lot. And one thing that we are is persistent. And I think that's what's going to make this ultimately successful. And so now we have rolled it over and are shooting for the 2020 ballot. There was some concern out there with people who said we would be a spoiler for the gubernatorial race, which was the one people are focusing on right now. And we'd split votes or whatever. And we thought it's just simpler. We're not going to make it as far as getting the 18,000 by the June 1st deadline. Let's just take this off the table for now, get even more organized, and then we'll move forward in 2020 with a full slate of House and State Senate candidates.
What were some of the challenges, or what are some of the challenges that you're facing in trying to get the word out about the Party of the Center?
The biggest one is trying to do a petition drive in the winter in Kansas, which, I mean, it sounds silly, but there are not a lot of people outside walking around saying, and if they are, they're not in any big interest, they have no big interest in stopping and talking to you. So the thing in the summer in Kansas, there are so many county fairs, there's in the state fair in the fall, there's just so many farmers markets, those kinds of things, where there are people out there who are open and receptive to this. And so warm weather is when you need to do this. There were other structural issues in terms of trying to organize a petition drive. Really, once you get going, it isn't that hard, because all you say is, are you open to, would you like another choice on the November ballot? Are you happy with the existing parties? If people are, they just walk on. But if there are a lot of people who say, sure, I'd love to have a choice. It doesn't mean they join the party. It doesn't mean they change their registration. It just means when they walk in November, there would be a party of the center to choose from along with the other two. So it's not hard to get people to sign. It's just hard getting the people organized to go out and ask them to sign. And then you've got a, it's not surprisingly complex in terms of how you internally have to deal with it, in terms of notaries, in terms of doing it by county, in terms of what makes a valid signature. They get reviewed by the Secretary of State's office, which is Chris Kobach, so we weren't expecting exactly a pleasant and happy reception, so we needed to be very careful on how we were doing it. But for the people on the street, it's just signing their name if they're a registered voter.
Scott, I'm almost a little surprised to hear you talk about approaching people on the street about this. I had assumed in this day and age that most of that work was done online.
Well, one of the other things is it has to be a physical signature. You can't do it online. And so, yeah, everybody thinks, well, I'll just do that online. You know, I can do so many other things with the state. I mean, these rules were designed and written by the two existing parties. They do not have much interest in blowing that system up. So if you want to break into that, they've made it difficult to do. And one of them is you have to have a physical signature, and then there's all these other rules that you have to deal with. They're solvable, and I have no doubt we can do it. 18,000 is only 1% of the 1.8 million registered voters in Kansas. There's a lot of people out there. It's just, I mean, I guess it should be hard to blow up the political system. you know, it does get frustrating at times, but you just stay persistent, and you end up figuring solutions out and what works, what doesn't, and where not to waste your time, and where to go and find a valuable group of people.
Scott, I want to step back for a minute. If there's problems with the Republican Party, problems with the Democratic Party, is there not some irony to creating yet another party?
Now, it is hard when you say parties are a problem, let's solve it with a party.
Exactly.
I get that is an inherent logical weakness unless it's explained. And there's a couple of ways of looking at it. The primary one is life is the art of the possible. And the only change you make is the change that you can actually do, not maybe the perfect way to do it, but what is doable. Our entire structure is built around parties. Now, once we get in, we can change some of that, and we can do some of the things structurally in terms of voter reform, election reform, and things to make change how we do it. But we have to operate with the system as it exists. We may wish that it were else, you know, otherwise, but right now it is set up for parties. And the only way you can do it, I think, and there's actually some positives with parties. I mean, for a long time, parties were annoying, but they worked, because they were broad-based parties. There were liberal Democrats, there were conservative Democrats, there were moderate Democrats, Republicans. I worked in the U.S. Senate for Bob Dole and Nancy Kassebaum in the 80s. They were still liberal Republican senators. There were still conservative Democratic senators. And so the parties were these broad groups that had some general differences in terms of the Democrats were more maybe for the little guy and the working guy, and Republicans were more for, you know, small business and economic efficiency or whatever, but they were used to making compromise within their own structure to get anything done. Now they've become such shells that those are some of the structural changes that we realize we need, why this needs to happen. They aren't interested in any kind of compromise because they don't have to compromise within their own party. They just have to be as pure as they can, and it gets further and further, certainly Republicans, to the right, and I sense Democrats are going nationally further and further to the left, and it's that purity that's just strange. And so we're trying to recreate a different kind of party that has a room for a lot of different people with a lot of different views. It doesn't mean you don't stand for anything. It just recognizes that others also have beliefs and that you all have to work those out to try to build your community instead of just yelling at each other. So this is a long-winded answer, but there are some positives to party. It's not a complete negative, but the more immediate issue is the only way to resolve our current problem is to fight them as the rules currently allow, and that requires a party.
Later this hour, we're going to hear from some people who are involved in the independent voter movement. Why not just go that way? Why not just say, okay, the Republican Party's not working, the Democratic Party's not working, I'm just going to turn my back on parties and just go forward, especially in this day and age where fewer and fewer, especially young people, are identifying with parties.
Let me answer that second part first, which is with fewer people are identifying. And I don't know that they would identify with us as a party, but what people do like now and are used to and everything else on the that they consume in terms of either items or thoughts or whatever are choices. And this is just to give them another choice on the menu to choose from. They don't have to become advocates for us. They're not going to show up at potluck suppers for us. They're not going to go for big marches, but they want another choice when they go to make their selection. So I think it will resonate with a large group of what is growing, where people don't want to affiliate, but they want to have choices from across the spectrum, depending on where they personally stand. In terms of the independent, I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about independence within our group, thinking, well, is that the way to go? Because there are a lot of national groups that think independents are the way to go. And part of that, I think, is because they view parties as the problem. But also a lot of it has to do with they really are interested, for the most part, in top down, where they want this idea that they're going to have somebody run for president as an independent, and that's going to save us all. And it's just, or they can get people to run for governor or senator, but nobody's running for state house, nobody's running for state senate. And you just think, okay, that's great. Conceptually, I get it. We all like to say we're independent, but it's not how the system is set up to work. You get, even if you were to win, you've got to work with the structure that's there, and you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. The point isn't to win, the point is to govern. And you need to have a collective group that you can work together to try to make these reforms. The other issue is that every time you file for office, that individual candidate has to get signatures. So for statewide in Kansas, they have to get 5,000. For state house, they have to get certain percent of their, I mean, it gets smaller, obviously, the lower down the office goes, but you still, everybody has to go out and collect these petitions, and it's a nightmare. And whereas if you have a party that has the ballot slot in November, you don't have to spend all your energy trying to collect these petitions, and instead you can work on trying to get the best people out there to the higher caliber folks in terms of their understanding, their tolerance, their intelligence to be candidates. So I love the fact that people want to try the independent thing, but when people ultimately walk into the ballot, they need shorthand, and they don't know if they're independently conservative, independently liberal, independently whatever. They don't know what they are. And maybe you get away with that as president or senator because it's a high profile, there's a lot of coverage. But all the down ballot, nobody has any idea who their state rep is or who their state senator is. I mean, a few people do, but the vast majority, kind of you get a blank look. I don't know who my state rep is. They'll name one they know, and it's not actually theirs. It's somebody across town. So a party does, that's one of the benefits of a party, is that it provides that shorthand that says this is a party of the center approved person. They are consistent with our principles of tolerance, of listening, of civility, of decency, of moving forward and not tearing each other down. And they think, okay, I like that idea. And so they will vote for it. So I don't see independence as any kind of systemic change in our system. It's just egos kind of out there flying around. God love them. But they spend an awful lot of money, and I just don't sense they get, there's not any kind of organic growth to them that allows them to grow and flourish. We've had third parties before, and they've all failed, and part of the problem is they're all built around a personality. Whether it was Ross Perot or George Wallace or Theodore Roosevelt, it was that person. Well, it was fine as long as people were ecstatic about that person, but there was no ripple effect. It was really limited. And I think that's an indicative of what happens with an independent, ego, personality-driven system.
I'm really glad you brought that up about third parties in our country's history. To the extent that they have been able to get past just one person at the top, often what's happened is their issue, to the extent that they have an issue, has eventually been co-opted by either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party moving in one direction and sort of scooping up that issue, which then just goes back to a two-party system.
And that's how why the system has stayed so has been around so long, because it did work that way. Take populists back in the turn of the 20th century. They were pretty vibrant. I mean, they controlled the state house here in Kansas, you know, in the 1890s. But ultimately, their issues were co-opted because the parties had the flexibility then to morph and absorb different issues. Now they don't. I mean, we have this whole kind of almost academic argument we go through to show how parties have changed, but they've lost control of the money because they don't. The money doesn't flow through them anymore. Actually, you know, Citizens United had part of it, part to do with it, but also McCain-Feingold had a really good intent and did some good, but it cleaned up soft money, which was the way parties controlled so much. So you took parties out of the equation, and now it's these large PACs or 501c4s or different groups that have the money. So they lost the money. They lost patronage because we went to a civil service, which is good, but they didn't have the power to say, you're going to lose your job if you don't stick with us. They had primaries, so they lost control of their ballot. And they lost, like everybody else did, control of the media because it became so dispersed. So they don't have the power to make people kind of morph into what they want to. Now it's just the interest groups. And in Kansas, you see it with such clarity in the Republican Party, because the Republican Party isn't a party. It is a shell for the Right to Life, the Kansas Rifle Association, and the Koch brothers. I mean, that may be good for a lot of people. They like that, and I'm not dismissing it, but that's not a political party as we used to know it. It's a cover for a group of interest groups, and those interest groups have no interest in compromising on any of their given issues. That's why they exist. And so it's confusing because we still have a Republican Party, and that's what we've always had. But that party is so structurally different than what we used to have that people haven't really wrapped their head around it. But slowly, you just start, as you talk to people, they start realizing everything else in our economy has been disrupted. Why haven't parties? And the thing is, they have. We just haven't reacted to it yet. That's where I think that it's frustrating, is that we're used to parties could morph and absorb the issues of the third parties so that they kind of petered out, that no longer have that power.
Scott, to what extent have you looked at what's happened in other countries that do have multi-party systems? Because I know in a lot of those countries, you end up with governments that are formed along coalitions, and that often they have a tendency to be very unstable.
Well, I mean, you could make an argument that we're not exactly stable right now. For years, that was our strength, is that we had stability because the two parties were so broad. It was chaotic. I mean, but it should be. Our communities are chaotic. But they did force us into a form of agreement and a form of working out our differences. Not always perfectly, not always elegantly, but it did provide stability. I'd say we're not very stable right now, and I think it's because of you have so many people whose views are not being heard because they are neither far left nor far right, and there's this whole group of just have become disillusioned. I don't know what happens if we're successful. I really don't, but I do know that we yelling at the wall is fun, but doesn't get us anywhere, and that we have to go in and try to reform things. And I could see ultimately where if we can reform things, maybe it does go back to two parties. Or maybe we have an explosion of parties. It depends on what you do with the voting system. Do you get into ranked choice voting? Do you get into multi-member districts? There's a number of things that you might want to look at. But nobody's going to look at them until a group like us gets in and forces the question. I think there is interest in the middle around the world to find a vehicle for their voice. So you do look to other countries, but you mostly focus, in our case, for Kansas, because that's the world we know. And if what we keep saying is, if it can happen in Kansas, it could happen anywhere. And so we think Kansas is a doable. We know it. We love it. We understand it. We understand what we have to do to qualify. And so we're staying focused on Kansas and trying to create it here and then turn to the rest of the country and say, we did it. What's wrong with, you know, you're going to really let Kansas be the leader in this? That's going to insult all those people. So that's why we just stay focused on Kansas.
To what extent have you looked at similar parties in other states, or has this happened in other states, and to what extent have they been successful or not?
You know, we looked into it a lot, thinking we're not the only ones out there. There's got to be, and there are a lot of national groups. They almost all are focused on the presidency and independence. I mean, it's just, they're nice, they are good people, but they have a lot of rich people that are just, they think they're going to save the world. And I don't know how much we have to go down that route again, given the current rich person out of nowhere that we have as president. It's not a blazing example to me of why that would work, but that's what was out there. So there aren't these kind of organic parties haven't really developed. They are developing in different places. I mean, there's been pop-ups of them in Utah, Nebraska, Wisconsin, of people trying to go that route. There are different levels, different reasons, which is why it should be by state, because every state's dynamics are different. And that when they all come up, then at some point you can unify as a coalition and form a national party. That's really what parties started as. They were regional factions that organized to control the presidency and to control Congress. There was a world of difference between Democrats in New York and Democrats in Alabama. And so I think it really, there's an historical precedent for groups coming organically out of their state, out of their region, and then forming a national party organically under some broad umbrella. So we have not found something we could just replicate from another state that says, you know, because there have been, I mean, Perot's Reform Party did exist for a while and kind of linked, you know, there were some governors, but that has petered out. They're off the ballot in Kansas. There is a Libertarian Party in Kansas. I almost point to the Libertarian Party as an example of why third parties can work, but they're only going to have an effect if they have a broad, if their political agenda has a broad appeal. I think Libertarian has a very intense following, but it's not a broad group, and it, outside of the Republican Party, it's not going to have much of a influence. Nothing against it; those views should be held, but they've become sort of fringe in their own way. But the fact is, they still sustain; they still get 5% of the vote. They're out there; they're representing people. To some extent, the Republican Party can co-opt them to the extent that they care about, you know, guns and no taxes. They get into some of the other things, they lose Republicans, so that's why they sort of still exist. But there are no mainstream parties existing in other states, because there never has had to be. The parties themselves were mainstream, and it's only in the last 20 years that has really eroded away. I think it happened here in Kansas earlier than other places, but it's happening everywhere, and people are just waking up to what is it we should do. I mean, I grew up as a moderate Republican, and it was always, oh, this too shall pass. And it usually did, because people, you know, the pendulum swings around. But structurally, the pendulum is stuck, and it can't move back, because the party isn't what it used to be. It's now the shell for these interest groups that are holding on to it tight, and they will not let go of it. And that's because they control the primary, where only 12% of us get out and vote in the Republican primary. And we can say, oh, we'll change that. It just never happens, because people have lives to live, children to raise, jobs to do, parents to take care of. And voting in an August primary, they say, I'm just going to wait till the real vote in November. And then we're limited. So they know that there's a small group and they can control it. You broaden the base in a general election and you have a different voice and everybody's math gets changed. And I think that will help us return to the middle.
Scott, how do you finance an organization like this?
Craftily and cleverly. The beauty of organic grassroots is it doesn't take money. We're not buying TV. We're not, you know, you can do a lot with a little amount of money. And part of what we're regrouping on as we have switched from 2018 to 2020 is that we are in the process now of reformulating our entire strategy and our budget so that we can go out and raise enough money, but it is really a doable amount, because there are enough people out there who are upset with how things are. And if you can present them with a plan of how they can fundamentally alter things, they are interested in it, but they need to see and should see a business plan essentially of where does my money go and what will you do with it. And so financing anything is difficult. The nice thing about this is it's not such obscene amount of money that you're trying to raise that it, you can raise it from individuals. Regular middle class people, their $100 is actually worth a lot to us. One of the things we're trying to create is something that is not so just weirdly controlled by money, because they all want to run just massive amounts of ads. I mean, I swear 90%, and I think that, I mean, that's an academic number from a study in out of California, but where 90% of campaign money is wasted. It's just people buy TV and nobody's watching TV commercials anymore. And it's great for consultants, but it's ridiculous for anything meaningful. You can run a much cheaper campaign if you've got the right organization. Again, another example of why a party actually can be good as opposed to running by yourself as an independent, because you can build that brand instead of each individual candidate is a lot more efficient way to use your money than each campaign by itself.
So at this point, your Party of the Center is looking ahead to 2020. But going into the 2018 elections here in Kansas, we still have a closed primary system. What do you say to people who might not be so comfortable with their old party labels, but know that they can't vote in the primary without being a registered Republican or Democrat?
Well, there are a host of them, not so much Democrat anymore, but of people registered Republican just so they can vote in that closed primary. And I completely understand it. I mean, I broke up with the Republican Party and sent a letter, set a breakup letter to them and left the party. But, you know, I even toy with it as an unaffiliated. I can go in on primary day and declare I want a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot, and I become a member of that party then, but I can then go and drop out of the party after the election. If you're already a registered Democrat or registered Republican, you can't go in now and change it because they moved that date up to June 1st. It'd be interesting what percent of registered Republicans out there are disgusted by the Republican Party, but they stay there so they can have some voice in the election.
Scott, I'm curious, you know a lot of elected officials. I'm curious if any of them have come up to you and said, you know, I'd love to run as a member of the Party of the Center. I'm not happy with how things are going right now.
Yes. No, that's, there are, and they correctly, and I have told them this, don't jump ship till there's another ship to jump to. And I think that there, that's where I think part of what I meant in saying that once we have the party, things will break quicker than you think they will. Because then there's the clarity, there's the realistic chance realizing I'm on the November ballot and I don't have to go through that Republican or that Democratic primary again. And we're out of the moderate Republican wing. That's the nature of what this is from Kansas. We have Democrats, and I've been really pleased with that, who have viewed their own party as ineffectual in Kansas or getting further and further weighed down by its national party, that brand is so toxic in Kansas that they can't, there's no hope to push forward what they believe in. So we are welcoming two Democrats. It's just they're a little further behind the curve in accepting that their party is fundamentally altered. They still think they can rally and change the party and it's going to be great. And I wish them luck. Maybe that's right. I think they have the same structural issues that the Republican Party has. And I just say, I think it's coming. It's already there, and I can lay out evidence of it in the primary results that have happened around the country. There are elected people who are interested. There are people who have been elected who are interested, but more, in some ways more exciting to me are the really competent, capable people who are interested in this if they don't have to go through a bizarre primary where they have to pledge allegiance to some really strange things that they don't believe in. The thing is, the issues that determine who gets through the primary gateway aren't even necessarily the top five issues facing our state. I mean, it's just these weird little self-proclaimed issues that you have to salute to. But then if you want to get into any of the other things, you have to cross yourself with that before you can pass the gate. And so it's not just people who are already elected. It is people, good and decent people, who have avoided it because it's such a zoo, and who suddenly see this is something I could get be part of, that this is an organization that gives me the flexibility within my broad middle to push forward on my agenda consistent with our general principles.
Scott, I mentioned at the beginning of the hour that you had run against Secretary of State Kris Kobach for that position 4 years ago. To what extent have people challenged your motives in this?
I don't know. They really don't challenge my motives. They challenge my intelligence. One, why did I run against Kobach when that wasn't going to work out? And now you're going to start a new party. And so it's not about me. I mean, the only thing I could see when we were talking about doing it for 2018 that I could have seen running for would have been Secretary of State. I mean, again, maybe it's being the youngest of a big family. My ego is such that I don't need to be in office. I think people don't, I've not really had my motives questioned. I think they just think that they have trouble believing that it could happen, that I'm the right guy to be behind it or whatever. I think they view the motives as genuine. I think it's become viewed as naive to think that you can do good things and not play ugly, horrible politics with each other and trash and burn, and that's a quaint old thought. And I may, you know, maybe it is, but you raise your kids that's what you do, and you just get up every morning and go out and plug up the hill, and hopefully, and now people are following, and it's kind of fun.
I'm visiting with Scott Morgan. He's the chair of the Party of the Center. Scott, it is always great to see you.
It's great to see you. Thank you, Kay.
Coming up, making it easier to run for office as an independent candidate. I'm Kay McIntyre. That's ahead on KPR Presents, right after this.